Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to make sure I get everything set up. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen one more time. Amen. I am so thankful and blessed to be able to be here this morning to bring unto you God's holy and divine word. Amen. It's a blessing to tell the story, amen, of how a king came from glory. Amen. Amen. At this time, I want to thank everyone for their presence here this day. I want to thank God for the elders of this congregation who leads this flock and the deacons who serve alongside of them. I'm also thankful to all the brethren who have led us this far in worship service. I am thankful for my family who is with me here as well, who serve alongside of me in this ministry. Amen. And if you're a visitor here today, I want you to know that you are our honored guest. Amen. Amen. That you are our honored guest. Amen. Y'all bear with me today as my voice is a little hoarse this morning. Amen. But everything is going to be okay. Amen. Y'all just bear with me. Amen. The title of this message is Keep in Memory the Gospel. Amen. Keep in memory the gospel. The phrase, remember the Alamo, has echoed through the halls of history, representing courage, sacrifice, and unwavering resolve of a people determined to stand for freedom. In the face of overwhelming odds, those who fought and died at the Alamo are remembered for their commitment to a cause greater than themselves, Texans' independence. It's a phrase that stirs the heart, reminding us of the power of memory to inspire and move us towards action. But as we gather today, I want to ask you to remember something even more powerful, something that transcends time, borders, and battles. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Remember the Alamo stirs us to honor the past and keep the flame of bravery alive, we are called to keep in memory the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest story ever told, the story of God's love and sacrifice for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And in this lesson text today, we have the Apostle Paul, the founder of the Corinthian church. He writes to exhort them to keep in memory the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the gospel is the foundational teaching of the church. It is the essence of our faith that unites us with the common hope and purpose. Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This morning, I want to discuss the importance of remembering the gospel and to examine the plan of salvation according to Jesus Christ. In verse 1, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "Moreover, and brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Amen. And what I want us to be able to see, Paul is telling the church that I declare unto you, he said, I want you to remember. I want to make this clear unto you about the gospel. That it's the gospel that I preached unto you. It's the gospel that you have received, and it's the gospel that you stand. Amen? That is very important that we understand about the gospel, that we stand firm on God's holy word. Amen? That we stand on the foundational truth of the gospel. Amen? That Jesus Christ is the solid rock that I stand, and all other grounds are seeking sand. Amen. That we understand he's telling them to keep in remembrance the gospel. Amen. He says, keep it in your memory to stand firm. Amen. In this belief and understanding the gospel. So the question becomes is, what is the gospel? Amen? What is the gospel? Surveying this question, Psalm says the gospel is music. It's Lauren Dangley. Amen? It's casting crowns. Or it's Kirk Franklin. Amen? Or it's the Bible. Or it's just the cross. But in verses 3 and 4, it tells us exactly what the gospel is. That there are three facts to the gospel. In verse 3, it says, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all," or first important, "that what I also received is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Amen? That we know that Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the blood of Jesus Christ forgive us of our sins." Amen? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That on the cross of Calvary, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he died for each and every one of us. Amen? We know that he didn't deserve it. Amen? We know that he did not sin, but he died for us. Amen? He died for mankind, that he took our place on the cross. And Paul is telling them, "I delivered to you this, the first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." And then in verse 4, he says, "And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." So there are three facts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Amen? And when I want us to be able to see, when he says according to the scriptures, the first, his readers was only known of was the Old Testament scriptures at this time. And there are prophets like the prophet Isaiah who prophesied 700 years before Christ. Amen? He says in Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 7, speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." In verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquities of us all." Verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Amen? So what I want us to be able to understand, that what is the gospel? And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen? In verses 5, it starts talking about those who were eyewitnesses of the count. Amen? And it says that, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brothers at once, of who once the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep." Amen? "And after that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." And what Paul is telling us and letting us know, imagine, my brothers and sisters, being at the Brazos County courthouse, and you are witnessing the trial of the gospel. Amen? It's the gospel versus Brazos County. And you think about all the eyewitnesses who would take the stand and said that I seen him. Amen? You'll see that Peter, he stood and said that he seen him. Amen? That he said, and the 12, talking about the apostles, that they saying that I have seen the Lord Jesus after he was buried and after he rose again. Amen? And then it says that over 500 men and a brethren at once seen the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That over 500 men can be able to stand and to testify that they seen the Lord Savior after he was resurrected. Amen? And that is so powerful of a statement, that all these men have seen Jesus Christ. And then Paul tells them that some of those have passed away, but there are some that are still there today. that you can still go and ask them, and they can be able to tell you that they've seen the Lord our Savior. Amen? So the question becomes to us is, why should we keep in memory the gospel? Why should we keep in memory the gospel? A new generation is being raised up in the church. Amen? That every now and then, we have to go back to the foundational teachings of the church. Amen? That a new generation is being raised up in the church. It is our responsibility to pass on these foundational teachings of the church to them. Amen? I'm reminded of my Uncle Law Mac Dillingham, who was a great gospel preacher in the Church of Christ. And he would say, preach the gospel with simplicity, that even a child would be able to understand. And not only preach that way, but preach to an audience who you don't have a clue of knowing who Jesus is. But also preach to someone as if this is their last sermon that they will ever hear. Amen? That is the preaching of the gospel. If you want to know how the plan of salvation, it is simple. Amen? And we will be able to discuss that later in the sermon. And also, number two, it says that new people or visitors are constantly being introduced to the church. Amen? It's a dangerous thing to assume what someone knows. It's dangerous to know what someone has been taught. Even when brothers and sisters from various congregations come and be a part of here, it's a danger to just assume that they have been taught right, that they have been baptized right. Amen? So we see that it's very important that we keep the gospel in our memory. Amen? In verse 3, the church is steady under attack with false doctrines and new ideas. Amen? Some would say that once saved is always saved. That is false. Amen? Some would say that is they believe in a sinner's prayer. Amen? Or some say that all you have to do is just believe Jesus in your heart and you will be saved. There are false teachings. Amen? And the reason why Paul writes this text is because there were some saying that there is no resurrection of the dead in this very chapter. This is about 20 years after Pentecost. Amen? And we see that in verse 12. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, he said, how? How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And is your faith also in vain? The whole thing of our faith and our belief is that Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day. Amen? And when we see this, he is telling them, if Christ is not risen, that our preaching is worthless. Amen? And that your faith is also worthless. Amen? And turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. In Galatians, I want to start in verse 6. And Paul is writing to the church in Galatia as well, because there are false teachers. Amen? And he says to him in chapter 1, verses 6, it says, I'm surprised that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, I'm not marveled that people have started trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it happened so soon. That's what he is telling us in this text. And then verse 7, he says, which is not another, that there is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we keep in memory the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because there will be individuals who will try to trouble members of the body of Christ to make them think and believe something that is not true. Amen? And we've seen in the Corinthian church, they were saying that there was no resurrection of the dead. And we can see how those false teachings, that people are trying to pervert the gospel or try to change the gospel unto their own things that are please man. And in verse 8, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And in verse 9, he says, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man, preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Then in verse 10, he says, for do I persuade men, or do I need to persuade God what the gospel is? Do I need to persuade God of why his son came and left glory and came to this earth? Amen. So he tells them also, he says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Then in verse 11, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it but by the revelation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul is telling the church that what he received, he also delivered. Amen. And he said that he didn't get this teaching from man. And in verse 12 and 11, it talks about, he said that I didn't get it from man, that I got it from the revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul on the road to Damascus. Amen. So I want us to be able to understand something, brothers and sisters, pattern theology. Amen. That the belief that the apostles' teaching for the first century church are to be reproduced and observed by the church throughout history until Jesus comes. It is simply going to the Bible and seeing what the Bible has to say about a particular subject. The Bible consists of patterns or blueprints that we can see to get a full picture of what God has to say about a certain subject. Romans 6:17, this says, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form or that pattern or that standard or that mold of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Amen. And what I want us to be able to see, how many of us love to bake cookies? Amen. Any of y'all love to bake during the holidays? You love to bake cookies. And it's just like what Paul is saying, that this form of teaching is the standard of teaching, or it's a pattern of teaching. It is a mold. And just like this cookie cutter, every time you press it into the dough, you will get the same shape. Amen? So every time you press it into the dough, you will continue to get the same thing. And that's what it is in the church. Wherever the church is at, if it's in Central, or if it's here, or if it's in College Station, or anywhere else a part of the world, from the standard of teaching, or the standard of doctrine, every time and every place, it will be the same. Amen? The same shape. What I don't understand, my brothers and sisters, is like some franchises like McDonald's. It's the same ingredients in a Big Mac. Amen? It don't matter where you buy it from. Amen? You can get it from Brian. You can go to Los Angeles. You can go to New York. How we can be able to understand these things in business models, but when it comes to the plan of salvation, we don't get that understanding. Amen? So it's very understanding. And look what it says in 2 Timothy, amen, chapter 1, verse 13. This is Paul telling the young preacher Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He is telling Timothy to hold fast to the form or the standard of words, amen, this form, this pattern of sound words that he had heard from him, amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, amen. And what he is telling us, that we need to have faithful men who will be faithful to God's word, amen, and to be able to preach the same thing that Paul preached in the first century, amen, that we understand, he said, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The cookie dough. Every time we press into it, it's the same form. If it's baptism, amen. If it's worship, it's the same form all throughout the teachings, amen. So the thing that I ask is then is this. The plan of salvation that we always hear in the Church of Christ, where did it come from? Is it something that we made up in the church? But I want to be able to show us that the plan of salvation is just like that cookie cutter. It's the same pattern and it's the same teaching. Amen. So how did the Corinthians obey the gospel? In Acts 18 and verse 8, it said, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." So we have here, we have believe, and we have baptized. Amen? Also, I want us to see the plan of salvation according to Jesus Christ. This is Jesus telling us the plan of salvation. Amen? There are many people that say, "I really love the Lord." But Jesus tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? It's very simple, right? If you really love me, keep my commandments. So I want us to be able to look in Mark 16, verses 15 through 16. In some of your Bibles, this might be written in red because this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Amen? And look what he says about the plan of salvation. "And he said unto them," talking to his disciples, "he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." See, I love, in school, I used to really love math. I guess that's why I kind of majored with business. Amen. I really love numbers. So I always did this in an addition equation. Okay? So when we see this, it says, "And he said unto them," in verse 15, "go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He says, look at what Jesus says. He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Amen. So when we see this plan of salvation, we see what Jesus says in verse 16. It says, "He that heareth, believe." First in 15, he said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." That's all mankind. That's everyone. Amen. And then he tells them, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So to hear plus believe plus baptize equals saved. Y'all get that with me? Amen. And then also we see also in this equation, it says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." So we have someone that it can hear and plus believe not is total damnation. Amen. I'm speaking to the young children in the room this morning. Amen. Because the young children in our classes, we know what 1 + 1 is, right? We know what 2 + 2 is. And what I want you to see is the formula of Jesus Christ, how he presents this, that he'll preach this and teach this, where even the young children in the audience can be able to hear and have an understanding, and they know what it is to be saved. So we hear Jesus saying, "Hear plus believe plus baptism equals saved." Amen. Then we look at the plan of salvation according to Jesus in the Great Commission. It says Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. Will you please follow along with me as well? "And Jesus came," and this is also in red, meaning this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking one more time. And he says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, all dunamis, is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That Jesus said, "I have all power. I have all authority. And it was given unto me," amen, "from God the Father." He said he has the power in heaven. He has also the power here in earth. And then he tells them in verse 19, "to go ye therefore." And when I think about this word "go," I think about it from two parts. I think of it from a Father part, and I also think from the Heavenly Father part, and also from the Son. My son and myself, when I was young, I used to love to stay up late at night and play video games. I would stay up late past the curfew, and my parents would come, and then they would tell me to go to bed. So I learned at a young age what that word "go" meant, right? It meant obedience, right? Like, I better go now, no time for negotiating, right? I couldn't negotiate nothing else. And so I know that the word "go" meant obedience. Also, I learned that it's also meant provision. Amen. If Jesus tells us to go, that he has given us the provision to go. He has given us his guidance to go. Because as I would, as a father, and I tell my son to go to bed because he's playing a video game, and as he comes downstairs and past me, I can see that it's his guidance because I stare at him the whole time till he goes into his room. Amen. And also, and we can see his provision because I have a place for him to go and sleep, right? So we say we know that God always provides for us in the go. Amen. We can see the apostles when he told them to go. It took persecution for the church to get going. Amen. So we understand what he says, go ye therefore. And look what he tells them, to teach all nations. That's everybody. Amen. That's every race. Amen. He tells us to teach. I want us to be able to see this is the first teach. This is the first teaching of the church. Amen. Because this is our Lord and Savior. He says, teach all nations. And then what he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to be able to see that in the name of here is different from when it is. The meaning of it is different from it is when you see it in Acts 2:38. In the name of here, it says into the possession of, right? So what you're doing is you are teaching all nations, you're teaching them, and you are baptizing them. And then he says into the possession of the Father, in the possession of the Son, and the possession of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is what we are doing, is to be able to make disciples. Making disciples means that a disciple first will make another disciple. So a lot of times, even in teaching, some people say, well, I didn't really get baptized into the Church of Christ. Well, a disciple did not baptize you. Amen. So to make disciples first, it has to be reproduced. Making is reproducing. Amen. Me and my wife, I might love a dog. Amen. But me and my wife cannot reproduce a dog. Amen. I would love a lab. Amen. But we cannot reproduce that. Amen. So making disciples first must come from a disciple to make another disciple. That's very good for us to be able to know, because some people believe, well, I was baptized already. Amen. And we will be able to have to explain that to them as well. And moving along. And then in verse 20, it says teaching again. This is the second teaching. A lot of times in the church, what we do is we love to run to the second teaching, amen? We would love to argue about music, amen, or why we examine the Lord's Supper every week. But first, they have to have the first teaching. And that first teaching is, you must teach all nations and then baptize them into the possession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen? So we see the second teaching. And the second teaching, it says, teaching them to observe not some things, it's all things whatsoever who I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Period. Amen. So when we see this, there is the first teaching. Amen. That is the making of disciples. Amen. That is putting people into the possession of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen? That we know that also when it talks about to be baptized in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, that was one life, one signing over their life over to Christ. That's why it's an amazing experience to see someone getting baptized into Christ, amen? Because in the water, there is nothing special about the water, but by faith. When the person goes down into the water, and what they do, they come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. They come with their cleansing blood, their blood that can be able to forgive us of all of our sins, our present sin, our past sin, and our future sin. Amen? So when we rise up, we go down in the water, and we identify with his death. And when we rise up to identify in his resurrection. Amen? That we rise up a new man. Amen? That's why it's so important that Jesus tells us to teach all nations. Don't let no one not be accountable until the gospel. Amen. The gospel demands a response. And we've seen that in Mark. Amen. That either you will believe the gospel or you will not. Amen. And then he tells them to teach in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is the second teaching. That is what we ought to do until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns. Amen. So I want us to be able to see also is this. In Acts chapter 2, we know that this is on Pentecost. Amen. The day of Pentecost. And this is the first conversion case. Amen. And I want us to see something right here. Because we're talking about the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is to hear, to believe, to repent, be confess, and be baptized. Amen. So on Acts chapter 2, look what it is that we see in Acts chapter 2. So if you're with me today, please turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 36. I always like to make sure. Everybody got a red Bible? Everybody got their red Bible? Everybody got a red Bible? I'm not talking about the color that you read it. Amen? There's a Bible that you are reading. Amen? Amen. Somebody. Amen. So in verse 36, look what it says. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Amen? And it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, some of you. No, he said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. And what he tells them, and I really love this sermon, I always love to just pick up around verse 36, because it says, the same Jesus whom you beat, the same Jesus whom you crucified, he said, the same Jesus the Lord lifted up, and he have a name above all names, that he's sitting at the right hand of God, meaning he's sitting in the power and position of power, in the position of authority, amen? That he's, when he tells them that this is the Christ, that this is something that they have lived their whole life waiting for. Think about this. You've been waiting for the Christ, the Messiah, all your life. All your past generations have been waiting for this Messiah. And Peter lets them know that the same Jesus that you crucified, he is both Lord and Christ. Some of these men were some of the men that when they was asked, who shall we let go? They said Barabbas. Amen. It's the same one that yelled out, crucify him. And you're sitting there and you're asking, they ask in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? We know on that day it was over 3,000 people, 3,000 souls that were saved. Imagine at least 3,000 men asking, what do we do? Do we still have hope? Is there still a chance that we can make it right? And we know that in Jesus Christ, we have hope. Amen? And then we see in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, look what he says. He says, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they heard the gospel. They were pricked in their hearts, so they believed the gospel. And he told them to repent. Amen? And to be baptized. And he told them, every one of them, amen? And I want us to be able to see something else interesting. In verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So far in this addition problem, we have a 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. I think that's 4, ain't it? I think I might have said too many ones, right? So we see here, we see the believe. We see the repent, and we see baptism. Now we also see that it was said as saved, they were added. Amen? So they are added to the body. They are added to the church. So what do? We do not join church. Amen? We are added to the body. And what as members, the only thing we do is we accept. Amen? The Lord adds, and we greet, and we accept. And we love, and we care, and we try to bring more maturity unto these individuals and these souls. Amen? It says, in the same day, there's no, some places, they have a certain Sunday where they baptize. A certain Sunday. But it says the same day. That's very important in your understanding about this cookie cutter. The same pattern must be followed all through the body of Christ. And it said the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That must have took a long time. Amen. Amen. What is the lunch? Amen. In verse 47, it says, "And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So we see this equation played out in Acts chapter 2. We see the hear, the believe, repent, baptized, then added and saved. Amen. That I want us to be able to understand here as the children of God, when it talks about praising God and having favor with all the people, that is our lifestyle. Do we have a lifestyle of praising God where everything we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of Jesus Christ? That is praising God with your life, giving God all the honor and the glory that he deserves. Amen. So our lifestyle, our character, and our behavior ought to match up with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we be more like Christ, when we let this mind be in us, which is in Christ Jesus, when we start adapting to the lifestyle of the Christianity walk, it says that we will have favor with all the people. Amen. When you think about love, amen, you think about charity, you think about giving, we understand all of these things. And he says that also, and the Lord added to the church. We do not add. Amen. Because if it was us, it was certain people, we would be accepting. Amen. You cool, but not you, right? It's certain people we would add, right? So that's the danger of joining. When the Lord adds, we welcome. Amen, brothers and sisters. And then I want us to be able to see also in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Amen. And it reads, this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, amen? This is another conversion story. And what I'm trying to encourage us to do, when we're thinking about salvation, let us look at all the conversion stories that we see in the book of Acts. And we can be able to see what it is for someone to be saved, amen? We continue to follow the same pattern of the apostles. And let's look in Acts chapter 8, in verse 36. And it says, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Amen. We see in this text that Philip, he started preaching unto him Jesus. Amen. And then we start to notice something that's very odd. The eunuch started looking around, looking for water. Amen. They're in a desert place, in a destitute place. Amen. But the eunuch says, oh, I see water. Amen. What a wonderful thing, amen, that the eunuch says, I see water. Because knowing that this is the way that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is the way of salvation. He says, I see, here is water. What is stopping me now from being baptized? Some men will say, well, you got to wait the third Sunday to be baptized. So, but we see in this moment right here, it's the same time, at the same moment, he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And look at the confession that the eunuch made. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the same confession that Peter made when he said about Jesus, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is the same confession that each and every member of the body of Christ make. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And that is what we see in this plan. Amen. I didn't put it on here. Y'all, Lord, please forgive me. Amen. But you are supposed to be able to see is the hear, the believe, the repent, and the confession. amen, and be baptized. Y'all forgive me on that, amen. It is sadly mistaken I didn't get to put that in there. But that is the plan of salvation that we have unfolded by looking through the scriptures. And look, and if you want to know how do you baptize someone, amen, if you wanted a demonstration to be able to know how do someone baptize someone, look what it says in verse 38. It says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And it says, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. It's very important to understand the word both. That's what jumps out to me. It says, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, because there are at least three people there. There's Philip, there's the eunuch, and it's the person that he told them to commanded the chariot to stand still. So it's the driver of the chariot there. Amen. And if anyone can be baptized, if anyone can baptize someone else, right? If anyone, only a disciple can make a disciple, right? But if anyone can do it, won't he get his worker to do it? Amen, somebody? Why do Philip have to get into this water? Amen. So we see in from this text, it highlights. It says, and they went down both into the water. Then it makes it very clear and plain for everyone. He says, both Philip and the eunuch. And it says, and Philip, or he, baptized him, the eunuch. Amen? So we see the hear, the believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, that they were saved, they was added. And we also know in Acts 2, in verse 38 and 30, in verse 39, it says, and you received the Holy Ghost. That is the only way that you receive the Holy Ghost, is through baptism. Amen? So my question and my thought for us today, just as we, as Texans, remember the Alamo, we remember the bravery of those who fought at the Alamo, inspired others to carry on their legacy. The ultimate sacrifice of Jesus compels us to live out our faith with the same courage and commitment. Christ laid down his life for us. Now he calls us to lay down our lives, to give to of ourselves for the sake of his kingdom. Jesus gave us the great commission to go and make disciples, to spread the good news of his love and salvation to every corner of the earth. And just as the Alamo served as a rally cry for a nation's freedom, let the gospel be our rally cry to fulfill the mission Christ has given us. Let it stir our hearts and move our feet to share his love with our family, our friends, and our community, and everywhere we go. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us here, as all of us being members of the body here in Bryan Church of Christ. Amen. We at Bryan and at Central Church of Christ, and all the churches of Christ in this area. Let us serve God. Let us work with one another and talk and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been given this commission. Wonderful thing to be able to serve the Lord out here on the battlefield, to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that our lifestyle is praising God and having favor with the people. I want to encourage us to understand what John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. When we understand that, I'm always intrigued to what it says, God loves, right? God loved the world. He loved all of mankind. He loved all of his people, right? So what we have to do, I love y'all saying, is we are striving to be more just like Jesus Christ, to see the world as Jesus seen it. Jesus sees that lost souls are everywhere, all through Bryan and College Station area. We see these lost souls. And I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, to join with me and join with us as the body of Christ, that we can be able to continue to seek God's will in this community, amen? There's a lot of lost souls, amen? And every soul matters. So I ask that when we think about our Lord and Savior on the cross, I want us to keep in memory the gospel, that be our rally cry, and understand what Jesus done on the cross and how he hung, bled, and died just for me, amen? I am no better than anyone else. But when I think about the blood that was shed for me, I think about how the blood ran all down, and I think about all the blood that's just all over this area. It's so powerful to understand that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. He tells us, Jesus says, I come. He He asked, why did he come down? He said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. So brothers and sisters, as we sit here and as we think about this, let us keep in memory the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what he done for us. Amen. How he shed his blood for us. Amen. And he has given us this great commission to do a wonderful and powerful work here in the Bryan area. Amen. There are lost souls everywhere, my brothers and sisters. When we talked about in Bible school, talking about faith and without works is dead. When we think about faith and we think about the works, is let our works shine. And what I mean by that, let Christ shine within us. Amen. And that what Paul is demonstrating to us is that Paul lived his life for the glory of God. And I'm encouraging us, each and every one of us, to share the gospel, the good news. I see so many wonderful things here happening in that central. I see that y'all have it on YouTube. That's a wonderful access to be able to just send that to our families, send that to our friends, and to be able to let them hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to thank those that are working in the media. I want to thank the leaders of this congregation and the members of this congregation. Let us continue to strive and fight for the cause, amen, of Christ, because God has been so good to us. Amen. If God has been good to you, we have our duty is to be able to share with someone else. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll be able to come forward at this time to give your life to Jesus Christ. That is the best and the greatest investment in the world. Amen. Is someone to give their life to Jesus Christ. Young children, please be encouraged to give your life to honor Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a wonderful thing when we see the future generations of the church growing up and they are striving to be elders or deacons. Amen. Not to be like the people of this world, but understanding the great value that we have in King Jesus. So, and also if you're here today and you have not always done right and you want to make it right with God, just like those in Acts chapter 2, we can be able to make it right today. Amen? So if you're here today, will you, as we stand to sing the song of invitation, will you come? Thank you.